This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So, right off the top, I get the Yanni John Tesh version of Aya Como Va. I'm like, what's going on?
I totally lost this.
That's unfair, man.
Where's the flute from? This is the John Tesh
version? What is this, the Osmonds? What's going on?
Nick's like, I really don't know this
Nick's
song.
Like, what do you want from me, bro? Like, this is the hardest thing
I need
to keep up with.
With this one.
Maybe we should have had a Mexican producer today that could help out. Because
Jose
like,
Partida?
Yes! Jose would be able to handle all this. That was racist, Nick.
Very.
You're the one who pointed out that we needed a Mexican producer.
Nope. I was just throwing it out there.
I did hear that.
God, you guys are snitches, man. Gah! Ah! Oh, it made me sick. All right, here's some texts from the text line. Did y'all see the pic of Elizabeth Hurley that her 15-year-old son took? That's from White Magic. No. Can someone tweet it to me? Because I have no idea what you're talking about, White Magic. At Barry is funny. Send it to me, and I will I'll take a gander because I have no idea what it is. I'm guessing she's nude or something? No? Okay. My coworker almost got slapped asking, why are y'all playing, in his words, South Park molester? All right. You know what? Let it go. We get it. We know what SPM was. What's the next time you do a show in Houston? Friday?
Tomorrow. We're the Usual Suspects.
No, they were a comedy show, Joel.
Got it.
Yeah, I think Friday I'm at the Secret Group at like 11:30 at night. But I don't have many Houston shows. I'm only on the road for between now and the end of June. So that might be one. Somebody said send down Fisher, bring up J.D. Davis or Tyler White, and then trade for Zach Britton. I don't know if J.D. Davis or Tyler White is the answer either.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Between Altuve on the Chevy commercial and your way back Wednesday, I thought for a second y'all were having signal issues.
That's very good.
That is, you would have to be a longtime listener to the station to get that.
But to USA fully Mike, understand that.
USA but... Mike, that was a fantastic text. Good on you, bud. John Parker, I haven't been listening. I haven't been able to listen to Way Back Wednesday, but my vote is for Barry. So there you go.
He hasn't even heard our
I
lists.
Told you. Well, he still voted.
That's a bunch of crap.
So are you nullifying his vote?
Yes,
it doesn't count?
Yes,
the
I
man's
am.
Vote still counts.
In my position of authority, I am. I'm vetoing. I am vetoing that vote.
Somebody said when the guy, was it Bill, the Mormon that called earlier?
Yeah, Bill.
And he was like, he wasn't referencing the jazz fan on a mobile call to the bench. He said, somebody texted and said, no, there was a different caller who was Mormon and said that blacks weren't in high ranking because we came from a place of pain. What? That happened on this station? Wow. That's not very good at all.
What happened?
I'm not reading it again. I'm moving on. It's just that the caller, that
Bill.
That's not who he was referencing. Apparently, some Mormon called and was actually acting like an a-hole.
Oh, really?
And said some, insensitive stuff.
To them or a different
joking,
show?
To a different show, not us.
Yeah, but saying, no, was it Renato and Lance?
I have no idea. They didn't say. In Little League, there was a guy that broke like 7 helmets because he would get mad every time he struck out. Did you guys ever have that, or were you that guy? Like, were you pitch a fit guy, Joel? Like,
no.
Did you cry when you struck out in Little League?
No, I was mad, but I wasn't crying.
Yeah, I didn't cry. I struck out a lot too. I was scared of the ball. I got hit in the face early on in Little League, and that did it for me. That was the end of my baseball career because I couldn't stand in the box. Once kids started learning how to throw a curveball, after I got hit in the face, I was bailing. Yeah. I was fine defensively. I'd play shortstop. I was good. Shortstop, second base. Could not hit a lick because I was scared of the ball. So. It's pretty sad when Giles has the highest slugging percentage last night.
So that's what I was going to say.
That's fantastic.
When do we start
that's
looking
really
at
good.
The offense? When
that's
do we start
really
saying, understandably, Ken Giles has his issues? We know this. But we know that the Verlander start was completely wasted, and it was a hell of a start. And we've had several starts now, two that I can think of for Gerrit Cole, at least one for Verlander. But this offense is just not clicking yet. And there's several people you can point to. I mean, we can go right down the list, but I guess the main culprits, and I already mentioned Marwin and Gattis, but Jake Mariznick is right there on the top of that list.
Well, you're certainly not getting the production that you were last year from Marwin. Although this is a team that's fifth in the majors in runs scored. They are 16th in home runs, so not all that good.
Right.
But they're scoring some runs, but how much of that was just a product of facing a bad White Sox team? Because they put up a lot of runs versus the White Sox that they did anywhere else. Now, I heard when I was driving in, I was listening to Granato, and they were talking about he wants Springer out of that leadoff spot. But I'm pretty sure, and I texted this to Raheel, and he said it was a little bit different, but I can almost swear to you that I saw a graphic put up on the screen last night during the game that said Springer was like 0 for his last 12 with runners in scoring position, which is complete opposite of what he was last year. He hit really well with, like, I want to say 350 with runners in scoring position last year. So I think that across the board, these guys are scuffling a little bit at the plate. There's no question about that. But, I mean, that's, I'm not so concerned about that. We talked about the fact that this is a team that has such good pitching that they can get away with that. I mean, you can go out and win a ball game 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, whatever. So no, they're not where you want them to be, obviously. But I don't worry about them long term. But I also don't think you can expect guys like Marwin Gonzalez or Evan Gattis or Jake Mariznick or Derek Fisher to do the things that they did last year. I just don't know if that's realistic. I mean, go and look at what their career averages are. That's what you can expect from them. So you have to ask yourself, is that good enough?
Yeah, I've just never been very confident in Gattis, though he gets hot in spurts.
Yeah,
he's a streaky hitter. And we've talked a lot about Marwin and the fact that if you just look at the entire spectrum of his career, he's just never been a 300 hitter like he was last year and put up the numbers. He's going to get RBIs, but he just isn't going to be that guy hitting for average and pop and all the things that you got last year. So you plan accordingly. There's a lot of people on social media that were saying he needs to go back to a utility role. But then the question becomes, well, who are you replacing him with?
Well, right now it would be Derek Fisher, or you move Redick into left field, you put Springer in right, and you put Mariznick in center. So it's either going to be Derek Fisher
or Mariznick.
I'm
not sure that's an upgrade.
I don't think it is at all.
Right.
I mean, what, Marwin's got 2 home runs, 16 RBI, something like that. I can look it up. You've got some of these guys are going to hit their way out of it. I think Marwin will hit better than he's hitting right now. I don't think he's going to approach what he did last year.
I agree.
So,
Clarence, thanks for calling back, buddy. I don't know what happened. I'm sure you'll tell us.
Hey, what up, guys?
What's up, man?
And then talking about NBA playoffs, talking about my Pelicans, who I thought was going to be competitive in this series, at least win 2 games, but now I'm not too sure.
You thought wrong.
Yeah, they got blew out the water in the first game, and then the second game was close, but come on, man. You got Steph Curry coming back. And even though it was close, you have Klay Thompson going, 7 for 20, 9 for 20 with 10 points? That's not going to happen again. They might escape with game 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if it would be a sweep.
I
wouldn't be surprised at all.
Me either. And, the whole thing with Draymond and Anthony Davis and everything else. My biggest thing in the whole series, Clarence, is as good as they were against Portland, I just haven't seen that Drew Holiday since Philly days, and I never saw it consistently even back then. And so I just had my doubts that he was going to be able to continue doing what he was doing, especially on both ends of the floor. I could see him D-ing some guys up. I just didn't think you were going to get the offensive production out of him in another series the way you did in the Portland series. And so far, he's just proven that to be correct.
Are we talking about Holiday?
Yeah.
He had 24 points.
Yeah, but I mean, he had 40 in a couple of the games against Portland, and he really was a huge difference maker.
Clarence, this would be my concern. You probably got the best game you're going to get out of this team. And it still wasn't enough to beat the Warriors. I mean, all of their starters had double figures. More had 14. That was the lowest total for their starters. So you got great games from most of these guys. I thought Anthony Davis played well. I mean, Holiday still had...
Mirotić is the guy they were
25.
Begging to show up, and he did.
You got a big game out of Rondo.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the 12 assists as well. So the sad thing is I don't think the Pelicans played bad. They didn't get, they didn't get run off the court like some people probably thought they would. But you probably got their best game. The Warriors just absorbed their best punch and just kept walking forward. And that's the scary thing.
This is my thing, guys. I mean, you're right. This was a very great game, very competitive from end to end. But how many times in a series or in a game, Klay Thompson is only going to shoot 10 points?
True.
Now, I'm not even going to bring up the free throw discrepancy that was very wide and very clear. But it.
When are you going to bring up number 30 in blue?
Yeah, man, it's. It was a great game, but I don't see them winning. If they can win any game, it will be game three. But you know, with the home court advantage. But you saw what happened last night. The shot selection after Steph came through, they were just running down, throw the ball up from 3 points, bounce. They run back down, go score again. And it happened on four consecutive possessions. They ran down and tried to shoot a three. And it was bad shot selection. I mean, horrible.
Yeah. Time to get your tackle box, Clarence.
Right. And I do agree with you. Appreciate the call, Clarence. But I do agree with you that, I mean, you absorb, if you're the Pelicans, you threw your best shot. And the Warriors, one of their big four, did nothing. Klay Thompson was almost non-existent.
In his first game back, yeah, after missing substantial
time.
How
scary is that?
I was going to ask, because when I'm watching this go down and I'm seeing him check in for the first time and immediately he hits that shot and he hits another one.
Damn it.
And I'm thinking, how many Rockets fans were hoping that either he'd come up lame or he'd be completely winded and look completely out of whack? And how many people were rooting against Curry coming back strong? Because you talk about being slapped in the face, man.
Man, that
he exceeded my expectations on what I thought I was going
to
see.
I didn't think that Steph would have forgotten how to shoot, but I didn't think he would have his legs under him. Because that's what I was watching. Especially in, you know, third and fourth quarter, I'm looking, how tired does he look?
Yep.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. That's not good.
And the thing was, he took a hit on like the second time down, so that was kind of the test. I'm sure he got up and went, okay, it feels good, I'm all right. And then he started hitting runners, and it's like, ooh, baby. And now you're going to give him the rest of the series just to get back in prime NBA shape?
Yep.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yep.
So we can continue to break down that game. We can talk about a lot of other things. How about the fact that after the game, Charles Barkley, or at halftime of that game, basically said he wanted to punch Draymond in the face,
get in
Draymond
line.
Decided to respond after the game.
Yeah, we'll get the audio of that next segment too. But yeah, get in line, because
no
there's
doubt.
A long list that wants to punch Draymond.
There's a long list of people I know that are looking for furniture and always go to Gallery Furniture first, last, and every time because of the fact that they take care of you. They have a solid wood, American-made furniture throughout the store. That's what they specialize in, from brands like Stickley, whether it's leather or upholstered furniture for every room in your house. They're going to take care of you with furniture that's going to last a lifetime at a very quality price, and they're going to live up to everything that they say because that's what they're going to do. They have three locations to better serve you, which is Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, also the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, both ways, and in the Galleria right across from Dillard's on South Post Oak. It is a great shopping experience, which regardless of which of the three locations you hit up. And when you hit up any of the three, they're going to tell you all of the same things. They're going to ask you questions. What kind of furniture are you looking for? Early American. What is your favorite, you know, kind of design? Is there certain things you're trying to match up in the house or the room that you're looking for? And then they'll show you many options until you find what you need. And that's where the marketing slogans come in and they come to reality, because whatever you say you want, you're going to get. When you buy it, you're going to get it within 3 to 4 hours. Delivery is that quick. Buy today. Get it tonight. They're going to help you with financing, find out the best way for you to pay. And the delivery people, once they do show up to deliver the furniture with no back orders or back order slips, they're going to ask, do you want this moved? Do you want furniture taken away? Is there anything else we can do to help you with throughout the process as we get this new furniture in your house? They do all these things because they know you're in Houston, they're in Houston, and they want you to come back anytime you need any kind of furniture and you're into shopping for furniture for your house. So check them out at one of the three locations, because the other thing they say is exactly what they're going to do. And as Max says in every commercial, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Knee deep in hour number two of the show. I got the old version of Richie Valens. Sorry. Not a
hey, man, y'all just going to have to take what
y'all next
get,
time, honestly. Send links. When I have a version I want, it's I send fine. You the link, don't I, Nick?
You guys are the ones that made it a competition again. I'm Nick, fine just participating.
I didn't make it a competition. I'm just saying, if you want a specific version,
yeah,
you post gotta, the link. Gotta, I do. You got to post the link.
I'll put the YouTube, hey, I want this version or I want this song and start it here. I want it to start on this one. I mean, that's... Besides, it's not a competition. I win every week. It's not even a contest. It's not even close.
The poll is going to tell us today because I will tweet out a poll.
Shout out to Buddy. He said, I'm sitting at work on light duty, watching the live stream. Love it. Keep up the free funny. I don't know why anyone would want to watch us sit here and talk.
Y'all need to start arguing more. We need to get some of that stuff like when Joel threw the cookies at you. We need to get that on video.
No. No, that made me angry. We don't need to do that again.
I think we should do something else.
Look, Joel wants to do that again. Joel's just itching for a fight. What is that on the screen? Is that for us? No?
When is it? Yeah, it's... It's cut off.
It's
though.
Not for us, he said.
I don't think it's for us. It's okay. Up there the whole show.
A couple more texts, and then we can talk more basketball. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. Just wanted to let y'all know you guys are the best show on Houston Radio by far. After that would be The Blitz, and then John and Lance, then Josh Ennis, and finally Matt Thomas. Keep up the good work. P.S. This is why I read it. Barry, it took a couple months of the show until I started thinking you were all right.
All right.
That is awesome. Well, thanks for the vote of confidence.
I think.
Garrett. Thanks, Garrett, for thinking I'm all right. Dick. No, we appreciate you listening, Garrett. Thank you, man. Wednesday is the best day of the week because it's the only day I get to listen. The signal in my new territory sucks. That's from your friendly neighborhood beer
salesman. What about the app, man?
Sorry about that, bro. Yeah.
Get the app. Take care of the problem.
Yeah. Mandy wants to know whose hour is this.
Mine.
Joseph's. Yeah. Why, Mandy? You like it or no?
It.
Oh,
yeah.
She does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sign of the heart.
Oh, that's right. I just saw the highlights from it. I want to get to this Jazz or this Pelicans.
Warriors?
Kerfluffle.
With Draymond?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So here, let me set the stage for you. So right before halftime last night, Draymond gets into it like he normally does in transition with Anthony Davis. They both fall to the ground, and we've seen this act before. He somewhat tangles the legs up, kind of makes sure that Davis can't get up, keeps shoving and pushing, and that ends up being, I believe, double technicals. And then as the teams were trying to walk off the floor, Rondo confronts Green, and is basically expressing their displeasure, and they go nose to nose. So with that, they transition.
Right. Well, let's not do the Barkley thing yet, because I want your thoughts. Nick, were you able to watch the game at all? I don't know. You were at the Astros, weren't you?
I was. I didn't watch the Pelicans game.
So watch the replay of the Anthony Davis, Draymond Green leg wrestling.
Yep.
Anthony Davis was the one that caused that.
The initial I agree with.
He basically tried to omoplata Draymond Green. He tried to get him in an omoplata. I mean, you could see it. He has his leg over his shoulder, and he's twisting. That was all Anthony. I hate Draymond Green. Don't get me wrong. I'm with Barkley. I would love for someone to punch that dude in the face. But that was not Draymond Green's fault.
Initially, now, I would agree with you as Davis. But when they try to get up the first time.
He was a little extra. But wouldn't you be if somebody was trying to hurt your shoulder?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be pretty...
Pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, from there, because they're going to break, they lead into Ernie, who basically is showing Draymond going nose to nose with Rondo. And he tries to soft sell it to basically say they exchange pleasantries. But it sounded a little something like this because Charles had a little something extra.
As they went to the locker rooms... Some friendly chatter between Rajon Rondo and Draymond Green.
That's what you want to call it?
What do you want to call it, Chuckster?
I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Which one? American Express Halftime Report.
I really do. I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Draymond?
Yo, Jay in Atlanta.
I want to punch
him in the face.
Why
so
you don't like Draymond?
I'm just telling you, I want to punch his ass in the face. I do.
Why? Why?
Relax,
what
Chuck.
Makes you upset?
You asked me a question. I gave you a question.
I didn't ask you to punch him. You said, I said, why?
Get it. When Chuck get like that, just leave him alone.
No, I like it.
I think a lot of guys talk on TV, stand behind a microphone and a TV screen. The fact of the matter is, if you feel that strongly about something, he's seen me a million times. If he feel that strongly about it, then punch me in my face when you see me. If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up. It's no different than somebody sitting behind a computer screen tweeting, I'll knock you out, and you never see him in life. Well, he's seen me a bunch of times, and he'll see me again this year. Punch me in the face when you see me, or if not, no one cares what you would have done. You old, and it is what it is. So if you ain't going to punch me when you see me, then stop talking about it.
Stop selling them wolf tickets.
Here's what I
love it. Because it's true.
If everybody gets what they want, and it's Rockets and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, that's a TNT series, and they go on location. This ain't over.
No, but he is right, though. I mean, and let's face it. There are guys. Barkley was Draymond Green, too, by the way. Yep. Let's not pretend like he wasn't. If you watch the NBA growing up, and you're somewhere near our age, you're in your 30s or 40s, you hated Charles Barkley until he became a Rocket. Mm-hmm. And then you loved Barkley, but everybody hated Charles Barkley. Barkley was Draymond Green in his era.
I actually liked him.
Yeah, but he started those fights. He did those things.
Take the fights out of it. When he started the whole we're in the butt kicking business and business is good when they had Chucky the lead in the series and all that stuff and Robert Horry and all the things he said. That's why he got under the. Yeah,
when he was talking Chucky Brown. Chucky Brown had to guard Barkley. Yeah. He said Chucky who?
And then Robert Horry. Because he made the free throws that beat him in the one game in Phoenix. And, you know, and then retribution was the Rockets came back and won the series. But at the same time, he just immortalized himself as a villain until they traded to get him.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And a couple of texters are saying this. And it is true, though. And you know Barkley. You're friends with Barkley. Yep. The difference is Barkley's old now. But if this was back in the day, Barkley absolutely would punch Draymond in the face if he saw him. But there's no reason to now, and there's too much to lose, and he's a broadcaster, he's not a player. There's all these other things. But don't think for one second that if Barkley wasn't a player, if Barkley wasn't Anthony Davis last night, if you're going to fight Shaq, you'll fight anybody.
No, I'm just going to say the same thing.
If anybody wants to say that Barkley is scared, you're talking about the wrong person.
Yeah, I know him too well, and I've seen it too much, even in a Rockets uniform, but over his career. One thing he's not going to do is he's not going to shy away or back down from any physicality.
Nope.
And Shaq said as much. He's like, Chuck, you know how both of us would do it. And, you know, if there's an issue like that, they're going to attack it. And that's why that the game back then, there's a lot of things that I love about the rule changes, but the physicality come playoff time, and you've heard me talk about it this year. Mario Elias talks about the same thing. You like it when teams really don't like each other and they amp up the intensity and they go at it. And that's what they're supposed to do. It's like a prize fight. And that's what I like to see. And you're right. Back in the day, either one of those guys in studio would have been swinging. But I think that's what you're getting at, Barry. I think what Charles's context is, if I was still playing,
I would punch
him in the face.
And he would.
Charles has a replacement knee.
Did he say I would or I just want to? I don't think he even said that he would.
No, first he said I wish someone would, and then he said I just want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that, you know, Draymond Green, I expect him to respond. What are you pointing at?
Who keeps putting messages on the screen?
Intern. That's intern. The intern.
Oh, dude, stop putting messages on the screen. That's okay. Confusing people.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, if I was Draymond Green, I would respond the same way because he was asked by a reporter, and I would respond the same way. And in regards to the video, I felt like Anthony Davis is the guy who kind of hooked the leg, pulled that omoplata looking ass.
You saw that, huh?
Yeah, move on
like
the court.
It looked like my white belt omoplata. That was weak. But
omoplata was on my list, wasn't it?
No, that's not one of your Wayback Wednesday
songs. Sorry, I thought it was.
I get what Barkley's saying, and he's right, because I don't like Draymond at all either. But you're basically mad at yourself if you're Barkley, because that was you, dude. You got under people's skin. You nitpicked. You pushed. You shoved. You tried to get people to do things. I mean, that was you. Is that why you don't like him?
Yeah, I think, and you know what? Just like we just said, most people are going to see what they saw last night and immediately point the finger at Draymond because of his track record.
Yeah.
Because of the whole, you know, he's gotten into it with everybody, LeBron and Harden and everybody else. But that's part of his shtick. But you also can't take away from the fact he's a hell of a player.
Yeah. And I know we got to go to break, but I want to find out on the other side, who do you think would win in their prime? Barkley or Draymond? Don't answer now.
But, in a fight or in a?
Yeah, in a fight. Like if they both played in the NBA in their prime and got into a tussle, who's winning?
It's easy for me.
Okay, we'll find out.
For me too, but yeah. All right, right now I'm going to tell you about my good friends at Hawk Security. I started telling you about a week ago, and I'm telling you, if you're a father like me and you've got children, you've got a wife that is coming in and out of the house during the day when you're not home, and you want to know that everything's okay, you need to call Hawk Security, 281-947-HAWK, and they're going to give you peace of mind because you're going to know your family and your home is protected at all times. It's 24/7 protection, and so you owe it yourself to call them because full-service home security is something that everybody needs, and they specialize in burglary and intrusion detection, video surveillance, life safety, and even fire detection, and you can take advantage of a special offer right now. The first 100 people who call in and mention the promo code NATE, N-A-T-E, you'll get a free doorbell camera, a free installation with a Go Hawk smart home package. It's a saving of $400. $400. You need to call 281-947-HAWK and use that promo code NATE. With Hawk Security, real-time alerts, it'll allow you to see who's at your door even if you're not home. It allows you to set the alarm even when you're away. It's everything that you need to save time and money and also make sure that you're protected every minute of the day, every day of the week. 281-947-HAWK. Mention NATE. Free doorbell camera, free installation. Save $400 and get your security that will give you peace of mind. Again, Hawk Security. You can check out hawksecurity.com or give them a call. 281-947-HAWK.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Second half of the show, Usual Suspects. 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go in the big show. So won't you join us if you feel? 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. You were talking before the break, Barry. You wanted to see in his prime who you got, Barkley, Draymond.
In their prime. Yeah, in their prime, meeting on the court, in a fist fight, who you got, Barkley or Draymond Green?
I got Chuckster.
Nick?
Barkley for sure.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. I think most people would because you've seen Draymond. Like they were showing highlights on the screen here on ESPN, and there was the one where he went after LeBron. Like they kind of got into it, and he jumped up and puffed his chest out and started, you know, trying to sell some Wolf tickets. And LeBron turned around and walked at him, and Draymond literally backed down. Like he stopped and backed up, like, hey, no, man, I'm not fighting you. Like, some of these cats. You might think can't fight or don't, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, if they didn't know better, would sleep on a guy like Trevor Ariza and think, well, he's quiet. He doesn't do it.
He's not bulky.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel like LeBron, Barkley.
Listen, I've told
his
you guys.
Prime, I'm like this. I use examples. Anybody that would go after Shaq. Now, remember Shaq, who did he punch? Was it Sean Bradley?
No.
At half court, he punched a big white center and almost broke his face.
Oh, no, you know who it
face.
Was? I know the one he missed was Brad Davis. I mean, not Brad Davis. Brad Miller. Brad Miller. And everybody said, had he connected he with the punch he threw, he might have killed him.
But he did punch one of them. I know he punched like a white center. I don't remember who it was. I thought it was Sean Bradley.
Both in their prime. But for me, it's the era thing. I think this era is too conditioned to someone intervening
before
the fight happens.
Kevin Garnett. Dwight Howard.
They're not waiting on someone to break it up, whether it's the ref or a teammate or an opponent.
No.
There's a lot of fake toughness because they're waiting. Look at all the... And the funny thing was when Dwight finally squared off with Garnett, it was like, now the two biggest fake tough guys in the league, someone's going to have to, you know, win out this one. And then they waited for both security guys to get involved again. But look, I've said this to you guys again. I've seen it too many times. It's not healthy. It's not natural. But the freak of nature that Charles Barkley was, he would never pick up a basketball in the offseason. The last thing we would do before he went to training camp was we'd go to Vegas for 5 straight days and play golf and hang out all day and all night. and drink. And then he would get a Lazy Susan delivered to his room several times a day with carrot cake and French fries and all this stuff. And we'd watch him just pile it on. And then the first day training camp started, he'd get the double thick champion sweats. And he would not only do the two-a-days, but in between two-a-days, he would do suicides. He would ride the bike. And our training staff was like, any other human being would probably have a heart attack doing this, but he will be down to his playing weight in the next 10 days. And he was just freakishly athletic. And then, like I told you guys, we'd play 36 holes of golf in 100-some degree heat. And some of my friends who were athletic would say, I could beat you easily in a 40 and a 100. And he would have me march off 40, then 100. And he would dust them by a good 10 yards.
Damn.
Athletically.
Yeah.
And that funny thing was everybody, oh, he's 6'6". No, he was 6'4", maybe. But just the way he rebounded the ball too, and then you know, I just know how freakishly athletic he was. I would, and then you, like you said, the Shaq thing. I walked in the locker room after he got thrown out for that kerfluffle with Shaq, and he was still shaking his head. And he, as I've told you guys in the past, he called me white boy. He goes, white boy, I know I can take him down. You saw me. He goes, if I had one more shot at him, I'd have knocked his ass out. And I'm like, dude, it was steam was still coming out of his ears. Most people would be scared to death to take on a man that big.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And by the way, shout out to whoever it was that texted in. He slapped Ostertag.
Shaq did?
Yeah. So I Googled it. O'Neal set out Friday's game with an abdominal strain. This is back November 1st, 1997. O'Neal set out a game with an abdominal strain, but that didn't stop him from fouling Utah center Greg Ostertag. O'Neal knocked Ostertag to the floor with an open hand slap between afternoon practice sessions at the Forum. Good.
Have no reason to hate Greg Ostertag.
He slapped that dude to the floor. Now, there's one thing. You slap somebody, it hurts. That's, you know, you'll back up. He literally slapped this dude to the floor.
That's hilarious.
I would not, but that's what I was trying to remember, because I knew it was somebody that he whooped his ass like it was nothing.
And he was not like a fake 7-footer. I think he was like 7-1 or 7-2.
Ostertag was a big, hefty dude.
Yeah, Ostertag was massive. A big boy also. Yeah, so I think we're all in agreement then. Barkley definitely is whooping up on Draymond. And then some people were saying, did you see the Kendrick Perkins and Drake thing? And I think I missed that.
So
what was that about?
Essentially what happened was, as they were going off the court at halftime, Kendrick Perkins in street clothes has been, he and Ibaka were teammates in OKC. So he was kind of flipping the business to Ibaka and saying, we're going to win this game. And as Kendrick says in the story that they asked him after the game, he said basically, hey, it's a two-way conversation. And all of a sudden Drake chimes in and starts cocking off. And he's like, I'm not having that. And you know Kendrick Perkins has got a quick fuse anyway. Yeah. So then they start going at it on the sidelines, and this is when they get back on the floor. And then Drake was talking to Calderon, and Perkins didn't like that either, and then the game got going. Well, after the game, it continued again because Perkins not going to let it go.
Yeah.
And the funny thing to me was Drake acted like just a little, you know what? I mean,
like an actor.
He kept saying that he had said something, but then you can hear him kind of going, I didn't even say that. I didn't even say it. And then his big old security guy is talking to the two team security guys for the Cavs and trying to act like the enforcer. And they're just like, yeah, whatever.
He's like, run up on me then and we gonna see. That's it. I didn't say that though, but I never said that.
And it was just like, you know what, man? Slow down.
That's funny. So it was an interesting night last night.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Because, again, I like that. This is what the playoffs are supposed to be. It's not supposed to be bro hugs and handshakes.
No.
It's supposed to be toughness
in fact,
and grinding it out.
I got onto this looking for that stuff. I ended up on this video of Shaq and Greg Foster going at it in
Greg Foster.
The 98 playoff game. And
was a little skinny.
I've got it paused on the point where they're about to go head-to-head and see what happens here.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Ostertag's not skinny, but Greg Foster's skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both Jazz guys. Coincidence?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Everybody hates the Jazz.
That's right.
Rightfully so.
We'll keep rolling along. Back with more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So who is this guy before I disrespect his legacy?
Which song is this?
See, I told you he didn't make his list.
Gabriel.
I told you he didn't make his list.
Gabriel is a very popular performer. And
Joel, without looking, look at me, name your list.
Okay. Oyo Kamuba.
Okay.
Richie Valens.
Okay. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
He could have photographic memory. He did type it out. That could help him remember it.
He copied and pasted. He's got two. I'm telling you.
And we're still waiting on the eighth, by the way.
Huh?
I know.
Which is due in like 8 minutes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. It's Joel. You definitely had an assist, right?
Yeah.
You did too.
Freely,
right,
I freely offered that up.
Bitch, I don't know assist.
You just said. Had one song on there.
Yeah, but I knew the artist. I can show you the text where I said, "Hey, what's the song that your dad likes from Vicente Fernandez?" I can't remember the name of it. She said El Rey. I was like, "That's right."
You didn't tell us that the conversation went down like that.
Yeah,
I count that as an assist.
Two. By the way, Nick, Juan Gabriel. All right. And Vicente Fernandez. All right.
Siri getting ass.
Look, Joel got some assistance. Barry got some assistance.
And you got Siri.
Got some Siri. Assistance. Yeah.
Barry, you're my favorite Usual Suspect, but Joel is kicking your ass today. That was from Mandy.
Vicente Fernandez and Juan Gabriel.
Not reading Mandy's text anymore.
Are two of, Nick and I have issue with you being her favorite suspect.
Well, she's smart in that regard.
They draw really well at Toyota Center, and one of the, I can't remember which one it was, but during one of the shows fell off the stage and like broke his arm and had serious injury and had to like cancel the show and come back at another time. But they're very popular artists.
I don't know what this is. I have to Google this word. Somebody asked us to do something and I don't know what the hell it means.
Normally you just do it first and ask questions later.
Is this pronounced Gritto? Gritto? Gritto?
What is it?
Somebody said, can we get Joel or Barry to do a grito?
Did a grito? Dance?
It's apparently a Mexican dance. I pulled up the YouTube video. We got to watch it. You want to see if we can do it?
I guess.
Do I have to get those long curly boots?
Why can't y'all just do it, do it right now?
What the hell is that? Is it just the hollering? Is that just the... Is that what that is?
Well, since there's no audio, I don't know. Yeah, but everybody is shaking
just
their...
It's just a shout.
It's just a shout. Just what I just did. Ask him, did I do it right?
No, you got to do the full arms.
Yeah, why are they doing their arms that? Yeah, why are
they do the double Tiger Woods?
That guy's mustache is fake, by the way. That's
like the guy from the A's that's trying to be Raleigh Fingers. Did you see that guy?
Yes.
Curling up the handlebars.
Yeah. So we'll get back to sports because I do want to talk about the Cavs game.
Okay.
But what's wrong with your boy Kanye?
Yeah, Nick. You put it on the rundown yesterday too, and I'll tell you this. Regardless of Kanye, I'm going to give some credit too. That guy from TMZ, the producer guy, he should be getting a lot of love today for standing up for what he believes.
Oh, yeah,
with
that
Kanye.
Was some good audio. We didn't play that. The audio he has is a bit different, but yeah, okay. He deserves a lot of credit though. You're right. Yeah. Because
who?
He did it as.
Have you ever seen the TMZ show?
Respectful as possible.
Yes.
So, how segment to segment, they'll go to the producers and say, what's the deal with this story? And then they'll give the story. Then they'll also give their opinions once they show the clip or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So, the African-American guy that's the producer on there, not the guy that hosts the show. No. The other guy. Kind of looks a little like a skinnier LeBron guy.
Okay.
All right. But he's very, very well spoken. But essentially, after Kanye made the statements with Harvey on camera, he kind of got into like a public open forum discussion, kind of like a town hall with all the TMZ producers and everybody in there.
That's part of the clip that I have.
Their work area?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as part of it, the producer that I'm talking about across the room was like, no, bro, I don't agree with anything you said. And he basically goes off and like tells him exactly why, and thought how disgusting it was.
Well, you're talking about the fact that Kanye said slavery was a choice.
Yep,
correct. That was his response.
That was
to that
the main
comment.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he also said something about
it was in the same
like Trump's been vilified and no one understands him or something like that. I don't know what the hell it was.
He's gone. He's crazy. I think he's the opioids, the drug that he talks about that he's addicted to. I think he's still on it.
Opioids,
so,
right?
So check this out. So. He's already going cuckoo because he's out here saying, oh, well, slavery was a choice, and he's wearing his Trump hat, and people are like, yo, you're what are you doing? You know, you're representing the black community, and obviously we're not big Trump fans, and you're talking about slavery being a choice. So then he goes on TMZ, and he's talking about how he was addicted to opioids, and he starts talking about how he's worried about his weight. And this is what happens when he's at the TMZ studios.
I was drugged the fuck out, bro. I was drugged out. I was on opioids. 2 days after I got off of opioids, and I was addicted to opioids, 2 days I got off of opioids, I'm in the hospital, right? I'm taking two. Hey, everyone listen to
this,
please.
Pause it right here. So now, up to this point, Kanye is in the chair next to the two hosts, the guy with the dreads and the lawyer, white guy, whatever his name is. Who? Harvey. Yeah. And he's talking to the people that are usually on the show. And in the background is these TMZ studios where everybody's working and doing their thing. I'm guessing editing videos and stuff. So when he says, hey, everybody pay attention, he stands up and turns around.
That's what I'm saying.
And is now addressing the TMZ studio and everyone that works
like
there.
Like a town hall.
And this is what he says.
2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat like y'all called Rob at the wedding and made him fly home before me and Kim got married.
All right, now pause it right there. Pause it right there.
That's the end of it.
That's the end of it? Okay. Because that was his whole, like, he's trying to excuse why he was on opioids, and he's basically saying, I was on opioids because y'all called Rob Kardashian fat at the wedding, and I didn't want you to call me fat, so I went and got liposuction. You know, I want that much money. Because, you know
hilarious.
What? I'm fat, and I can't go get liposuction. I got to do it the hard way. I got to go on a diet. I got to do sit-ups. I got to run. But this dude saw something happen to a Kardashian and was like, oh, you're not going to get me like that. I'm going to go get liposuction.
And he already has the puffy cheek.
Now, how many rappers do you know that get liposuction? I'm sorry, but you want to talk about losing a little bit of street cred?
There's a lot of them. They also...
Rappers?
Yeah, they look in there. They use their phone to see what's in their teeth, too.
Okay, that was just lame. You should hit him with the dong.
No, we should not. Stop suggesting that.
Why? It's true. It was whack. But I'm like, you can't be taken serious as a rapper if you're out here getting liposuction, can you?
I think it's more humorous to hear Raheel try and stand up for him because Raheel's like this huge Kanye fan. God. And he's like, I just want the album to release so everybody will forget about this. Bro, just like the Taylor Swift thing. No one's forgetting about this.
Yeah, he's going crazy, though. I mean, he's yelling at TMZ, y'all made me get liposuction!
What? You can be whack on just, like, everyday things. But when you get whack on the theory on slavery, that ain't going away, man.
No.
And like I said, so exactly we were talking about the same setting. So he's doing that town hall setting with all the people at TMZ, and that's when the producer decided to chat back and say, hey, look, time out here. You've disgusted
me.
So
it was at that point?
Yep.
Oh. So
you've
that
disgusted
led up to it.
Me.
Okay.
And this is it. So then Kanye comes over and tries to give him a hug and say, and he's like, he still wasn't back in it. He's like, no, bro, no, you need to talk to some people and figure some stuff out. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah. It's very few people would actually check Kanye just because of the pull that he has and the status. So, well, good for that producer, man.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
That was weird.
So we've got 1 hour to go on the show.
Some liposuction.
Okay. Man Center might be able to do that.
I don't think they do that.
Oh, okay. But we want you to stay right where you are because we'll take you till 4. The Blitz will take you till 7.
That did make me. I'll tell you on the other side. I don't want to. We're going to break. And I know I've been messing us up, but I'm going to get laser hair removal.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to make fun of you forever if you get laser hair removal.
I am going to get it. I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
I'll tell you why and where. It's not on my balls, Joel. I see you looking. It's not on there.
It's your ass?
Nope. Although I have considered.
Going into Sherwood Forest?
Getting my taint laser.
You got an ass stash?
No, I don't have an ass mustache like you.
Get a tramp
you
stamp
got that,
reverse
got
instead of tattoo.
Lower
just
back. You know you got that
hair.
Lower,
yeah,
nasty ass.
We talked about it
I know.
Before. You didn't have to bring it back up.
Is Sheila E. Mexican?
Yep. Lisa looked it up. Oh,
hey
strong.
Siri, is Sheila E. Mexican? Look, I typed in Sheila to put Sheila Jackson Lee. You're out.
No, Yeah, because I would actually default myself if that was true. All right, we got 1 hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.